Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 343rd episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for over 28 years. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Today we're weaving together a few threads relating to Israel's occupation of Palestine and genocide of its people, including the complicity of the US, Western powers, us, Zionists, Christian Zionists, big money, and the media. So
yep.
We're not ambitious, are we, Jacques?
No, that's right. So looking back on our program for about 7 years now, we have been trying to understand what's going on in the world on issues ranging from our local communities, nation, and globally. We have spent a lot of time and airwaves on single issues to do with politics, economics, equality and welfare or well-being. And we've been looking into conflicts and warfare, especially since the Ukraine, Russia and Palestine, Israel, US, West conundrum from 2022 and 2023. In most of our programs, we have attempted to pierce through the various fogs of contextual complexity surrounding the issues we were trying to talk about and make understandable.
Yeah, while pushing against some of the simplifications offered by those in power and the media that they control.
That's right. And in the half hour we often found it a challenge, to say the least, to remain understandable because of deliberate misinformation put out by the media, mainstream and social media, and those in power, and the apparent lack of any historical awareness about the genesis of the issues we were talking about.
Yeah, awareness or often, I think, indifference, really, to any history in the media push for clear messages, which often invoke simple goodies and baddies.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I do recommend listeners listen to US historian Howard Zinn on this topic, who was featured on Alternative Radio on 3CR this morning from the archives. Really spot on.
Yeah, Howard Zinn unfortunately died several years ago now. He was a great historian. And this lack of historical context is not helped by the contradictory nature of the information bites which we are getting through our media.
Mm.
So today we would like to offer an example of the many aspects and perspectives which are involved in understanding the real background to one of the issues that has dominated news channels and social media, as well as indeed our Think Again program.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Palestine, Gaza, Israel, Zionism, the US, and some of the incomprehensible actions and inactions of our own progressive Labour government.
Yeah, progressive inverted commas.
That's right. With an almost historical majority at present in a pretend two-party parliament.
Yeah, and to recap the last 3 weeks, we've discussed the so-called hate laws recently legislated across our country and the danger, very real danger, they present to free political expression in this country.
Yes, that's right. And then we examined 2 weeks ago the background to the Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion Royal Commission.
So-called Social Cohesion Royal Commission.
Yeah, and so-called royal.
Yeah. And we emphatically declared that criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitic.
That's correct. And finally, last week, we examined anti-Palestinian racism in our institutions and our communities and the virtual absence of public commentary on anti-Palestinian racism. Today, we're going to try and make all of that fit a little bit together somehow.
Mm-hmm. Adding to past critiques of that we've made on the program of things like military industry influence.
mm-hmm.
on world events
mm-hmm.
And politics, US world dominance, and our own government obediently following in the wake of the US imperialist agenda.
That's right. Mm. So to begin, in the book we referred to last week, I think, or the week before last, How to Sell a Genocide by Adam Johnson. We referred to it, I think it was the week before last. He quite masterfully really documented quantitatively and qualitatively how major liberal media, so-called liberal media in the US, have been actively complicit in the destruction of Gaza.
Yeah, and liberal meaning left of center in the US context, mm. of course, not the same as here in Australia.
That's correct. So How to Sell a Genocide focuses on the print and screen media aimed at and run by people and groups considered to be politically left of center. Whilst the conservative media and their reactionary audience clearly sided with Israel and opinionated against the Hamas-Palestinian terrorists, in quotation marks again, the agreement and silence of the liberals or the left needed to be gained as well, given that Biden, the Democrats and the US were rather unequivocally in support of Israel, for a variety of historical, political, economic and imperial reasons, as we have talked about before.
Yes, and as explained in another book we've both recently read, Zionism decoded in 101 quotes by Yaakov Rubkin. Israel has bipartisan support from the US ruling class, supported by a long and deep connection with Christian Zionism, going back centuries and deeply entrenched in US institutions. So in a recent video interview with Yaakov Rubkin and Jeffrey Sachs too, which was recorded by Pascal Lotaz for Neutrality Studies, Sachs in this interview explains how money from Israel has bought influence and deeply corrupted the US political system. The US political system already being hugely and easily corrupted by big money, which, of course, is a topic all of its own.
That's right.
And alongside the big money from Israel is the influence of the evangelical, the Christian evangelical Zionist churches.
That's correct. And we will come back to that in a second part.
Of course.
That's right. So going back to the book, How to Sell a Genocide, Adam Johnson documents the complicity of the media in excavating detail, and he concludes, and I quote him, "Operations of mass killing on this scale don't happen without propagandized, misled, distracted, and lied to public." And because a survey period took place while a Democratic White House was arming, funding and providing diplomatic cover for the genocide in Gaza, news outlets popular with Democrats were essential to this dual process of dehumanization and feigned humanitarianism, of elimination and alleged ceasefire negotiations, of weapons shipments and crocodile tears. The media's complicity in the genocide was rarely as openly racist as Fox News or the Free Press, but they were simultaneously more impactful and more subtle and thus more decisive in priming the public for a campaign of mass killing and population removal. End quote.
That's pretty clear.
Apologies for this long quote, really. It's clear, but it is long. But it certainly resonates forcefully with the Australian media context, which ranges here from Murdoch Press to the so-called Liberal, Nine Entertainment and Guardian media, and are mostly fence-sitting public broadcasters.
Including our too often disappointing ABC.
That's right. And Adam Johnson's work helps us understand strategic moves by our own government, that is, our centrist and pretend moderate left Albanese Labour government. We have criticised the government in past programmes for its military and political complicity with the Israeli aggressions, for bowing to the call for anti-Semitism measures.
Yeah, while critics of Israel and what it's doing in contravention of international law, while those critics of Israel are bullied into silence.
Absolutely, and our government lopsidedly condemns Palestinian resistance to Israel's aggression and prohibits and restricts protests and demonstrations in support for the Palestinian cause.
Yeah, which is blatant and shameful. And then most recently, we had the Labor government's piss-weak response to Israel's mistreatment of Australian citizens on the humanitarian flotilla to Gaza, which was, we saw a lot of across our news. And this mistreatment was said to include beatings, torture and sexual violence, and that was from multiple witnesses and reports. And also doctors can bear witness to it as well, if the media cares to gain that testimony.
That's right. Adding to the wider picture, we have sometimes almost like jokingly referred to the war in Palestine as a war in the guise of three monotheisms, Jewish, Christian and Islamic.
Yeah, but I think in the guise of is a really important phrase, because really they are just the ideologies being used as a justification for seizures of power and maintenance of power, mostly at the cost of civilians and citizens and ordinary people. And we've seen a lot of that in this conflict as well as previous others. And a case in point is the Zionist self-serving interpretation of the Jewish creed and the use of this interpretation to justify genocidal acts against people in the occupied territories.
Yeah, sometimes very openly by people like Netanyahu and all of those. And we have often critiqued public references to Muslim groups or Muslim movements and their activism of any kind as necessarily having to do with terrorism. Why do we always call it terrorism?
Why do we call it terrorism when we look at resistance?
Yes.
Not to condone every form of resistance.
That's right.
Why do we call terrorism?
And why don't we call Israel's action terrorism as well?
Yeah, or and often the US? People do on march as a terrorist state because what it's doing is deliberate terrorism.
Yeah, and that's abundantly used in the context of the Hamas or Hezbollah-led resistance to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands. And, you know, that is often always accompanied by a reference to terrorism.
Yeah, terrorism is what the other side does.
That's correct.
Well, most recently we've seen in the media some sort of apologia to Israel's military attacks, even on Lebanon towns and civilians.
That's correct.
Even in news I've seen it with graphics explaining what might happen to Israel to justify what they're doing as preemptive defence, supposedly.
Yeah, the media are totally complicit in all of that, that's right. So let's have a bit of a listen to music. Raise Your Voice by Seth Stendhal Wathan.
When the genocidal army came to lay the people low, to spirit them away from lands their feet had always known, the leaders of the free world turned away their greedy eyes to protect the settler colony and spread outrageous lies. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. When the young folk made a stand to fight for all the human race, our leaders called them evil as they blinded them with mace. Yet stronger still they cried out loud for freedom to ring true. Oh, an end to the apartheid is so long overdue. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the slain. We sing the name for freedom yet to still be attained. Now we see the rich folks smiling at the galas and soirees as the children of Gaza, their mangled bodies laid, their hungry eyes and blood-soaked hair still left out in the shade of the dimly shining eagle-lining pompous parade. Oh, raise your voice for humanity. Raise your voice to the indignity. Raise your voice for the thousands who've been slain. We sing the names for freedom yet to still be attained. To all the gallant heroes.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Before the break, we were trying to clarify and bring together some aspects connecting the international and the national contexts relating to anti-Semitism, Israel, Zionism, Palestine, the US, and our Labour government's reluctance to take a stance in several of these interconnected issues, which we have covered in many of our previous projects.
Yeah, and programs.
And programs, yeah.
Yeah, yes. We're attempting to bring together some of the threads in this program, helped by the insights of certain commentators and historians, including Jewish scholars.
So to continue with these interconnections, as the U.S. War Department Secretary, because that's how he has renamed it, Pete Hegseth, he keeps affirming in so many different ways the entire reason for the existence, the maintenance and the growth of the US war machine has an assumed rationale in the spread and defense of the Christian fundamentalist creed. This really affirms a Christian Zionist belief in the importance of recapturing the land reaching from the river to the sea, a land also known as Palestine, and now gradually being extended to parts of Lebanon, Syria, and yes, reaching into Iran.
With Christian Zionists, for people who aren't familiar with this strange belief system, so Christian Zionists see the establishment of the State of Israel as a prerequisite for the second coming of Jesus Christ and the apocalypse and the last judgment, when all good people will ascend to heaven. Of course, they assume they're included in that group of good people going to heaven, which I always think is pretty challengeable.
That's right.
But as stated by Yaakov Rubkin in a book about the genesis of the Zionist project, titled Zionism Decoded in 100 Quotes, this is what he says. Zionism has always relied on the support of different groups and countries. By far, the most numerous contingent of Israel's loyal supporters are tens of millions of Christian Zionists, particularly influential in the United States. Popular evangelical preacher Jerry Falwell saw the founding of the State of Israel in 1948 as the most crucial event in history since the ascension of Jesus to heaven and proof that the second coming of Jesus Christ is nigh. And according to Rubkin, Falwell said, without a State of Israel in the Holy Land, there cannot be the second coming of Jesus Christ, nor can there be a last judgment, nor the end of the world. Unquote. That's what we're up against. And certainly the current US administration is infused with Christian Zionism, ensuring allyship and explaining allyship to a large degree with Israel. And this includes deep infiltration of Christian Zionism in the US administration and in its political leadership and branches of government, and also into military command and troops.
Absolutely, which brings us to a few recent discussions about Israeli Zionism and its role in recent history and in the present conflicts in Palestine, as well as political and propaganda strategies worldwide. In the interview Jennifer mentioned before, Jeffrey Sachs and Yaakov Rubkin, they discuss Zionism, and I quote, as a racist, settler, colonial political project that has become so violent in the past decade that the entire world now sees it for what it is, an irredeemable political sin. End of quote. Both Sachs, whom we have relied on for several previous programs about international politics, and Rubkin, they are Jewish, the latter, of course, being author of the book Zionism Decoded in 101 Quotes we have been referring to before. In that interview, Sachs and Rapkin discuss how for decades Israel has pretended to be an innocent country established after the horrors of the Holocaust for the protection of the Jews, and how this is supported by most of the West, especially the US. As they state, it turns out it was all a lie. The Zionist project is much older and had little to do with the wishes of the majority of Jews when it was established towards the end of the 19th century. In fact, most Jews were against it.
Yeah, well, it had a range of critics, many of them being prominent Jewish figures, and many who predicted the current violent travesty that's unfolded. And the victims of the establishment of the State of Israel included Jews, the non-European Jews, who were usurped and displaced from their homeland too, because it was a European project.
That's right.
So to quote Rubkin, quote, "Like other colonial projects, it dispossessed and oppressed the indigenous population, but it also produced other kinds of victims, ranging from deeply religious Jews, long established in Palestine, to Arab Jews, uprooted from their homelands to ensure the Zionists' demographic dominance."
Yeah, that's right. Inherently and historically, Zionism is a Christian doctrine.
Yeah, going back 300 years or and more.
That's right. And modern Zionism, as developed by a small group of activists, was always a plan to resettle the Jews of Europe, even against their own will, and to dominate West Asia in the process. West Asia, what we now, of course, call the Middle East.
Yeah, hence the history of Zionists colluding with European Christian anti-Semites to settle the Jewish people elsewhere.
Mm.
So Zionists colluded with anti-Semites. As recounted by Yaakov Rubkin, Herzl, known as the father of modern political Zionism, recognized that anti-Semitism would be harnessed for Zionist purposes, since both wanted to rid Europe of its Jews.
Mm-hmm.
What an unholy alliance.
Mm.
So to quote Herzl, "The anti-Semites will become our most loyal friends. The anti-Semite nations will become our allies," unquote. Which brings us to the irony of our current times with the propaganda coup of having criticism of Zionist Israel equated with anti-Semitism, when once they were allies. Again, to quote Rubkin, "An important tool of rallying support for Zionism is the conflation of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. This was not easy, since Herzl and his followers openly sought and obtained help from anti-Semites in several countries, including Nazi Germany."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he talks about even a medallion that was coined that had a swastika on one
side,
Star of David on the other side.
Absolutely.
So, nevertheless, the conflation of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism was clearly laid out as a strategy in 1972 by former Israeli Foreign Minister Abar Eban, and has long been implemented, no doubt, while leveraging the suffering and genocide of Jewish people in the Holocaust. So, as Rubkin points out, this strategy is used with great force today. To quote him again, "To deflect criticism of the genocide in Gaza, false accusations of anti-Semitism have led to discreditation, dismissal from work, deportations, and imprisonment," unquote. And we are certainly seeing much of this played out in Australia today. Evidently an oppressive but very effective playbook.
Certainly.
At the same time, political leaders in Israel are apparently free to openly advocate killing Palestinian children and babies, lest they grow up and resist Israeli occupation of their homeland. This is despite killing civilians being clearly in contravention of international law, and wrong, and we all know it's wrong, but it's in contravention of international law, a fact the Israel state clearly cares little about. To give just one of the examples from Yaakov Rubkin's book, in 2014, just before becoming the Minister of Justice, Israeli parliamentarian, not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, Eilat Shaked said, quote, "Behind every terrorist stands dozens of men and women without whom he could not engage in terrorism. They are all enemy combatants, and their blood shall be on all their heads. Now this also includes the mothers of the martyrs, who send them to hell with flowers and kisses. They should follow their sons. Nothing would be more just. They should go, as should the physical homes in which they raised the snakes. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised there," unquote.
God.
And I know I almost, there were other quotes and I thought that I just couldn't read on radio, and I can barely read that one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are numerous similar statements made by, have been made by Israeli leaders. And they're on the public record and they're said with impunity, and you can pluck them from the air, but you can get them from Rubkin's book as well. So we should certainly take notice here in Australia, as dehumanising language about Palestinians has appeared quite a few times in our mainstream media without apparent pushback.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Meanwhile, Christian Zionism counts about 50 million fundamentalist US Christians and has strong ties into Latin America and Africa, and it certainly bothers the recently elected Catholic Pope Leo. Significantly, Leo XIV severely criticized the U.S.-supported attack on Iran, and in his first papal encyclical Magnifica Humanitas, Leo warns that AI, artificial intelligence-based autonomous weapons systems, have advanced, and I quote him now, "practically beyond any human reach to govern them," end of quote. Indeed, the U.S. rocket that destroyed the school in Tehran that killed almost 170 children was apparently fired and steered on the basis of old and superseded artificial intelligence information.
Yeah, so even whether they are target or not, once more children are the victims.
That's correct.
And this is, as you're talking about, Jacques, it's aided by the moral distancing that technology can offer as well, which social commentators have talked about for a long time, since the dropping of bombs in World War II.
Yep.
But this has only escalated, of course,
that's
with
correct.
AI.
Absolutely.
Keffiyehs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white keffiyeh to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to keffiyehs.org.au. That's keffiyehs.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Thanks for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. If you would like to send any comments, please email Borderlands at info@borderlandscooperative.net. Note that that's changed since a couple of weeks. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website on 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milk and Manna by King Stingray.
For me. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.